Well, I appreciate each and every one of you being here this morning as well. I pray that all of you are well, strong, healthy, praise God, blessed. Yes, just as the word says. But, I was praying this week and asking the Lord, you know, what direction we should go for this Sunday morning. And I kept on hearing this word, purpose, purpose. Purpose, yeah? And this morning we're going to talk about purpose. And then hopefully maybe next week, we'll talk about the purpose of the church. And then maybe the following week we'll talk about the purpose, why we as the church gather together. Amen, why we gather together. You ever thought about what the purpose of the church was for? You ever thought about that? And what is the purpose of us gathering together? Especially in the times that we're going through and all of these things that we face, you know, purpose kind of keeps you anchored. It keeps you focused. It keeps you in a straight path. It keeps you from being distracted and pulled aside. And that's why it's so important, I felt in my heart, to talk about purpose. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk about aiming your life for purpose. Aiming your life for purpose. And we're going to look at Psalms 127, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read this text. You can just follow along. I'm going to read this text from the King James Version this morning. I usually use the New Living Translation, but I'm going to use the King James this morning. I was looking at my iPad this morning, and I looked, I go, it looks like my granddaughter got a hold of my iPad, because she scribbled all over the top with a pen. I just noticed it this morning. And if I was to lift up my pants over here, my whole leg is all scribbled with pen. Because this morning as I was reading my Bible, she was drawing all over my leg without me noticing until I looked and she laughed. So I didn't have time to erase all these pen marks in my leg. Thank God for pants. But anyway, she's a blessing anyway. Amen. Thank God for grandparents. I just feel there's a grandparent anointing on those of you who are grandparents this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray before we jump into the word. Good morning also to our Faith Family Maui Church family that are on our Facebook. Facebook, good morning. Glad you're able to join in with us this morning. I pray that you'll be blessed and receive this morning what the Lord has for us. Father, we're grateful, Father, that you are, as the declaration was made this morning, that we have no doubt that you are the mighty God, the only God, that you are great in all your ways. You're great in love, you're great in peace, you're great in blessings, you're great in everything through and through, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. As your word says, the Lord thy God, he is one God, and beside him there is no other. You're the first and the last. You're the God that was, is, and is to come. You are Emmanuel, God who is with us. So we're grateful, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are mighty and great in all your ways. You are awesome, spectacular, and you are our Father. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord, as your word goes forth this morning, that it will touch hearts and change minds, and that people will be strengthened, encouraged, and edified this morning to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Everybody say,
amen.
Amen and amen. Psalms 127, the Word of God declares, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. That word vain means unsuccessful, baseless or worthless. Except the Lord keep the city or protects the city, the watchman waketh but vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows. So he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. We can say the children are a gift from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, just a little details about this particular psalm. This is called the Psalm of Solomon. Solomon was one of David's sons. Or we can call it the Song of Ascent. That word ascent means to ascend or to move upwards. This particular psalm and a very other psalms were sung. These were actually songs that were sung as worship songs. Interesting. And they were sung while the Jewish people would ascend or walk up the road towards Jerusalem, the city of peace. Every time you see the word Jerusalem, it'll be noted as Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And the reason why that word up is he ascend, it's an upward. Because Jerusalem was 3,500 feet above elevation. It was up. It was more like, it said it was a road, but it was more like a trail, right? They didn't have roads back then. And at that time, there were three major festivals that they would celebrate. The Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, amen, and Pentecost. And it was celebrated in Jerusalem. So they would ascend up to Jerusalem. Interestingly, this particular psalm, 127, was sung as they ascended up to Jerusalem. They would be singing this song, this psalm. And the reason why they sung this psalm or whatever psalms they were singing, it was to remind them the purpose of their journey. Isn't that cool? So by the time they got up, right, they knew what their journey was all about. I thought that was interesting. Because we're talking about aiming your life for purpose. I'm not talking about hit and miss. I'm talking about specifically targeting your life for your purpose. Let me start off by asking, how can anyone hit the mark if they don't even know what the target is? Matt Emmons had the gold medal in sight. He was one shot away from claiming the victory in the 2004 Olympic 50-meter three-position rifle event. The thing was, he didn't even need to have a bullseye. All he had to do was make a mark on the target. And his final shot merely needed to be on the target. Normally, the shot he would make would receive a score of 8.1, more than enough to receive the gold medal. but was described as an extremely rare mistake in this elite competition. What happened was Emmons fired at the wrong target in the wrong lane. He's in lane two, he shoots the target in lane three. His score for a good shot at the wrong target. He made a good score, the bullseye, on the wrong target. Zero. So instead of a medal, Emmons ended up in eighth place. You see, it doesn't matter how accurate you are if you're aiming at the wrong target. Now, to aim one's life on purpose, we must understand the purpose for your aim. Amen. Let me read that again. To aim one's life on purpose, we must first understand the purpose for your aim. Emmons' purpose was to hit his target, but he aimed at the wrong one. Amen. A lot of people aim is to get married, but what end up is they marry the wrong person. You know, as Christians, we're told that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Amen. How many of you ever told that? I've been told that. That God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But here's the thing. What do we do when we don't know what those plans and purpose actually are? But what we do know through scriptures, right? That Jesus always lived his life on purpose and in purpose. You know, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father says. The Son can do nothing of himself. So he was fully dependent on the Father when it comes to purpose. So therefore, every place that Jesus went and every act that he did or performed, whether it was a miracle or a healing, it wasn't by chance, not by coincidence, or a random act of kindness, but purpose was involved. Purpose was the motivating factor in every place that Jesus went and everything that Jesus did. Amen. In fact, you don't have to turn there. In John chapter 5, in verse 1, there's a story where Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. And he goes to this place called the Pool of Bethesda, the House of Mercy. And this pool has five porches or five stairways that enter into this pool. And the Bible says there were laying multitudes of sick, blind, lame, and withered folks there, a multitude. That's a whole bunch that was laying there. But the Bible goes on, and what they were doing was they were laying there waiting for the water to be stirred by the angel. And whoever went first, whoever got into the pool first, was the one that got healed. So here you have a multitude of people laying by the pool, waiting for the pool to be stirred. And it says there was a certain man. When the Bible says there's a certain man, it's pointing out a particular person they want to talk about. Such as the account with the woman of the issue of blood. There was a certain woman with an issue of blood. The Bible wants to specifically talk about that individual. But there was a certain man who had suffered from an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time to be suffering with an infirmity. Now you remember, there was other seek falsely in there as well. But the Bible points out just him. And Jesus approaches him, this certain man. Not the others, but him. We're talking about Jesus always lived his life on purpose and in purpose, right? And Jesus approaches this certain man and he tells him, do you want to be made whole? And we know the story. You know, they have a conversation going on and, you know, he throws out some excuses of why he cannot get in the pool when the angel stirs it. But what happens is Jesus actually heals him, right? But the question is, why didn't he heal all the other folks laying by the pool? Apparently they had needs, right? Could he have healed them? Absolutely. But why didn't he? Because Jesus lived his life on purpose and in purpose. And obviously by his actions, his purpose, right, was to focus and tend to that one certain man for whatever reason. Not the others, but him. You know, we don't know if that this individual was praying and asking God, God, I need help, right? But here's the thing, you know, we see in other areas in the scripture where the Bible says that Jesus healed everyone who had any kind of sickness or disease, right? Who had all kind of manner of disease as well. Praise God. And maybe at that time, that was the purpose for him to do that, to heal all those with different manners of sickness and disease. But he was a man who lived in purpose and on purpose every single day. You know, there's many other examples in the Bible where Jesus lived his life on purpose and in purpose. You know, we can talk about the woman at the well in Samaria, right? We can talk about Lazarus, right? Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick. But he doesn't do anything till 4 days later. By then, they already had his funeral service, his burial, and he's buried. So why did he not respond earlier? And that was the question his sisters asked him. Lord, if you came earlier, Lazarus would not be dead. Like I said, Jesus always operated on purpose and in purpose. And what his response to the sisters was, that this would be something that God would use to glorify him, so that all can see that this raising him up will glorify the Father. Yeah, not glorify him, but glorify the Father. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though a man be dead, yet shall he live. Right? So we see that. You know, there's a story I remember about, how many of you remember or know about Smith Wigglesworth? Tremendous man of God. God used him in the 1800s. Tremendous, powerful healing ministry. But there's a story in one of his books that is written about him where he gets up in the morning and he senses that the Lord is asking him to do something. So he gets dressed and he feels prompted by the Lord to get on the bus. So he gets on the bus. He doesn't know anything. He gets on the bus. He just obeys. And the whole conversation of that chapter, he's talking about obedience, obeying the voice of the Lord. So he obeys the voice of the Lord, he gets on a bus, and he sits on a bus, and he just stays on the bus, and the bus just goes. He don't know where he's going. He don't know where the bus is taking him. He don't know where the Lord is leading him to, but he just obeys and he stays on the bus. Until 10 miles further out from where he is, the Lord tells him, get off the bus and go to this bus stop and sit there. So he gets out of the bus, goes to the bus stop, and sits on that chair. And he sits there. He sits there for 2 hours, and nothing happens. God's not speaking. So he waits. He obeys. I mean, if I told my granddaughter, Joy, sit here. She'll sit there 1 second and she's gone. So we have to train her to be obedient. So he sits there for 2 hours and then he sits there for another 2 hours. That's 4 hours. The human nature is, you know, after 2 hours, I mean, you antsy. You start questioning, man, is that you, God? Was that you? Or was that me? He's talking about obedience. But he knows it's God because he's heard that voice so many times. So he sits there another 2 hours, 4 hours. And it goes to 5 hours, he sits there. And then 20 minutes after the 5 hours, a bus comes. A man steps out of the bus. The Lord tells him, talk to him about me. We're talking about purpose. So Smith goes up to him and talks to him about Jesus. And this man in his older age gets saved and receives Christ as his Savior. And he feels the release. He gets back on the bus and goes home. His assignment is done. 3 weeks later, he gets a call from this woman. And the woman says, thank you so much for sharing Christ with my husband. Because 2 days ago, he went home to be with Jesus. We're talking about purpose. Aiming your life for purpose. Jesus always lived his life on purpose and in purpose. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested or revealed that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or revealed that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy and undo the works of the devil by rescuing and redeeming fallen mankind from sin. Aren't you glad that he did? I'm glad. You remember when God's man and God's woman were duped, right? They were duped, they were lied to, and they were snake bit by the serpent in the garden. Remember that? Adam and Eve, they had disobeyed and sinned against God. Therefore, their act of disobedience contaminated the whole human race. Right? See, they didn't realize that their sin, right, had a ripple effect through all humanity. You ever throw a stone in an ocean or in a river, and it just has this ripple effect? Well, their act of disobedience, transgressions against God, had a ripple effect amongst all human beings. They got contaminated. And the same works the other way. If you're blessed, right, then that blessing upon your life has a ripple effect among yourself and among your family and everyone that you're contacted with. Amen. But that's what happened. Their act of disobedience infected all humanity. So don't think that your act of disobedience doesn't affect your loved ones. It does. So the whole human race was poisoned, infected, and contaminated by sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. The Bible says there's none righteous, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that through one man's disobedience, Adam, all humans became unrighteous. But, everybody say but, through one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, all became righteous. They became in right standing with God. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm in right standing with God. The Bible says he, God, made him Jesus, who had no sin. He was sinless, right? To become sin. Every sin, every sickness, every disease, everything was imputed into Jesus, meaning it was placed on his account because he was sinless, without sin. So that we could be imputed with his righteousness. There was this great exchange that occurred. And I don't think we understand the depth and the fathom of what happened. I mean, to be right standing with the God that created all things. You know, every morning I tell the Father, hey, thank you, Lord. I walk under an open heaven of blessings every day because of the right standing that I have with you. Now, in understanding right relationship or right standing with him, we have to understand that in that right standing and right relationship, we also have to have a right behavior, a right attitude, based upon understanding your righteousness with him. The word porno means doing the right thing. But I like to put a depth to it. Porno in Christ changed the whole dynamics. Yeah. To be porno in Christ. Him. Then you'll do the right thing when nobody's looking. Amen. We always do the right thing when somebody's watching. Right? But how about when nobody's looking? Are you still doing the right thing? Yeah. It's an understanding of your righteousness with God. Anybody receiving something this morning? Praise the Lord. We're talking about what? Aiming your life for purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. I love this scripture. He says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Now, how many of you know, or maybe not because of some of the stuff we had to deal with, right? I mean, we're dealing with some stuff in the spirit, right? All of these things that are going on right now. But everything that you have gone through thus far, seasons, whether good or bad, mountaintop experience, valley lows experiences, those times of not having enough, right? How many have ever been there? Those times of not having enough. I've been there, standing at the cashier clerk and seeing what the price to pay and having to put things back so that you could pay for what you had. I remember those days of not having enough. Right? We all do. Or maybe just having just enough to get by. Those what we call desert or wilderness seasons, times where you felt alone, deserted, abandoned, and friends were few, right? Remember those days? In fact, you even prayed to the Lord and seemingly he himself was silent. How many of you remember those trying seasons of your life? How many of you can say, I've been through some stuffs? Let me see your hands. We've been through some stuffs. But despite of the stuffs we've gone through, I've come to realize, and maybe you come to realize, now that we're on the other side, and that's the wonderful thing, that we have gone through some stuff. We didn't camp out, but we went through some stuff. And God's going to bring us out like he always does, right? But now that we are on the other side of these stuff that we've gone through, that those seasons that we have gone through had a purpose. Had a purpose. Those seasons had a purpose in our lives. No doubt it was painful. It was challenging. It was unpleasant. It was uncomfortable. It was lonely. It was hard. But you know what? Those seasons had a purpose in our lives. In fact, honestly, it was needful. Why? Because through those seasons, some of us grew up. We grew up. I mean, the beginning stages of this COVID thing that occurred in March, right, when we postponed our services, praise the Lord, a lot of us had to dig our own wells. A lot of us had to open our Bibles and actually read our Bibles for ourselves. A lot of us had to get on our knees and pray for ourselves. But that's a good thing, because those seasons matured us. It developed us. It was needful. If there's any positive thing pertaining to this COVID, it matured us, and it will continue to mature us. Some of us have learned to trust God now because of it. To trust God and not man. So we can say that we're now much more seasoned. How many of you can say, I'm much more seasoned now? You know, the Apostle Paul said something like this to this note. When I was a child, I spoke as a child and I behaved as a child. But when I became a man, right, I put those childish things away. Right? It was a time to grow up and be a man and put those childish things away. So therefore, you're stronger, you're tougher, you're smarter, you're more wiser, you're no longer gullible, easily taken advantage of, you're more compassionate, understanding, you're much more kinder, and forgiving person. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because of those seasons, you're better and not bitter. You're much more mellow and you're not mean. Like a mean junk dog. Junkyard dog. Remember that wrestler? So we can say seasons have purpose. Can we say that? In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 20, chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, it says, "For we know that all things work for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose." So no matter what we go through, whether bad or evil, understand that we know that through this experiencing that we are experiencing right now, all things are working for our good. Because what? God's a good God, right? He's not a bad God. He's not using this to teach us a lesson. He's not using the devil to teach us a lesson. Amen? No, but in the midst of all that we're going through, it's working out for your good and my good. It's benefiting. We just got to realize that. That God's a good God. And everything that we're going through, everything that we're experiencing, it will turn around for our good. It's a promise from God. It's going to work out for our good, for those who love God. And I know each and every one of you love God, right? And who have been called according to his purpose. So if we're called according to his purpose, not ours, but his purpose, his agenda, then he's obligated to make sure that everything's going to turn for the better, for our good. Yeah, so turn to the person next to you and say, "We're going to be okay." Who's that little rascal? You remember the rascals that... Okay. Who's that? Who did that? Alfalfa? Oh, okay. Or buckwheat. Yeah, buckwheat. Okay. So purpose is defined the reason for which something exists or is done. Purpose is defined the reason for which something exists or is done, made or used. An intended or desired result, end, aim, or goal. Purpose. Let me ask you, what is the purpose of that chair that you're sitting in right now? Think about it. What is the purpose of your car or truck that brought you to church today? What is the purpose of your job that you go to every weekday, or for some of you, weekends? Have you ever come across a tool or a gadget that you had no clue what it was? You ever came across something like that, James? That you look at it and you go, "What is this?" I know my father-in-law was a machinist for the steel mills in Pittsburgh. And he left a whole bunch of tools in the garage. And my mother-in-law told me, "You know what, go inside, look, take whatever you want." But you know, I have so much tools myself. But I went and looked, and I saw some tools that, "What is this? What is this?" You know, I couldn't make out what it was for. And if you don't know what it is, then you don't know what the purpose or the function it's for. If you don't understand what the gadget's for, what it is, you don't know what the function or its purpose for, right? You know, I was thinking about this, one of my dislikes, or some of you say pet peeves, is when someone uses a tool for the wrong thing. It kind of irks me. Does it irk you, James? Yeah. All you maintenance guys, right? It irks you, right? Especially if it's your tool, right? That's one of the things you don't do, is you don't go in somebody's bucket of tools and just help yourself. You have to ask for permission. It's like, you know, if I'm riding with you, I'm not going to go mess with your radio, right? You don't do that. You don't touch somebody's radio. Isn't it funny while you're driving? You know, you're driving, and then you have to turn down the radio because you're looking for an address. You got to turn the radio down. Why is that? Right? You ever done that? You're trying to find an address, and then the radio's playing, and then you turn it down because you're trying to find a place. Does that help your vision by turning the radio down? But yeah, it's using the tool for the wrong thing. I mean, you know, using a screwdriver as a chisel, right? Or using a knife as a screwdriver. You know, somebody using a knife or a screwdriver. You ever saw that? I know some of the wives have used that. They call it improvise. Or use what you have. Because my husband no more tools. Or using a shoe to hit a nail. Or using the scissors to trim the grass. I saw that happen. I also saw somebody using a hammer for husking coconut. I looked at go, what are you guys doing? I mean, I knew what they were doing. But brother, that's the wrong way to open one coconut, with a hammer, the back of the hammer. I also, believe it or not, in Kihei, I saw this guy trimming his hedges with a weed whacker. I mean, he wasn't weed whacking, he was butchering. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, with all that laughing, which is good, but here's the thing, we know the purpose of a lawnmower, right? We know the purpose of our coffee makers. Some of you cannot do without your coffee makers, right? We know the purpose of your vacuum cleaner, our computers. We know the purpose of our Walmart, Targets, right? Jollibees. Some of you going, oh, I'm going to go Jollibees after. Pizza Hut, right? We know the purpose of Pizza Hut. Gas stations, right? Our correctional facility. We have all those things figured out. And yet when it comes to our purpose, knowing what our purpose is, many say, I don't have a clue. It's a mystery when it comes to our purpose. How many of you ever heard of Rick Warren? Rick Warren is a pastor, but he's also an author. And he wrote this book called The Purpose-Driven Church. And he writes in there, he says, the greatest tragedy is not death, but a life without purpose. The greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. What is the other quote? The cemetery are buried with the greatest treasure of untapped potential. Why? Because there's all unfulfilled purposes that has not been discovered or utilized. Yeah. So, the greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. You know, that's a pretty strong statement, right? But you know, if you think about it, there's truth to it. Because I believe the one of the most important questions in life is, why am I here? Why am I here? And you know what? No doubt it has that question has crossed all of our minds, right? Why am I here? You see, we all naturally want to know, is there any purpose to this thing called life? Why? Because we're wanting to seek fulfillment in life. And it's not just us. This is a universal question to all human beings who desperately want to know No matter what your skin color is or your nationality, right? God is colorblind. The fact is, while everyone pretty much knows when they were born, very few know why they were born. So you have people who go on quests, they go on journeys, they go traveling far places, great distance, far and wide, to what? To find themselves. And to find what their purpose is. You know, your alarm clock can tell you what time to wake up, right? How many of you still use an alarm clock? Yeah, it tells you when to wake up, right? But it can tell you why to wake up, right? So if I was to ask of a show of hands, how many of you believe that God has a purpose for your life? Most of our hands will be up. Now, if I was to ask you, how many of you know what your God-given purpose is, the number of hands would be lowered. Because the truth is, many are living their lives without knowing what their purpose is. And yet, we all want to live meaningful life. Rightfully so, right? That's why I believe the importance of knowing our God-given purpose in life. Because we all aspire to be successful in life. As a person, as a mom, as a dad, right? As a parent, as a Christian. If you have a business, for your children, right? All of these things, we want to be successful. But here's the thing, how can we define success if we are not able to define what our purpose is? Because it ties in. To be successful, you must know what your purpose is, what your aim is. How can we hit the mark when we don't know what the target is? Amen. Let me read this Psalm, Psalms 127. I want to read it from the Passion Translation, okay? How are we doing on time? It says, if God's grace doesn't help the builders, they will labor in vain to build a house. If God's mercy doesn't protect the city, all the sentries will circle in it in vain. Sentries are guards. It really is senseless to work hard from early morning till late at night, toiling to make a living for fear of not having enough. It's okay to rise up early, but what he's saying is it's futile, it's a waste of time to get up in the morning and stay up late at night worrying about how you're going to make ends meet. That's what he's saying. He says, God can provide for his lovers even while they sleep. Wow. While you're sleeping, God will still be providing while you're sleeping. And it goes on, children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward. Children born to a young couple will one day rise to protect and provide for their parents. And the parents say, amen. Did I read that again? Let me read that again. Children born to a young couple will one day rise to protect and provide for their parents. Yes. Amen. Happy will be the couple who has many of them. Wow. Just bring it on. Kids, just bring it on. A household full of children will not bring shame on your name, but victory when you face your enemies. For your offspring will have influence and honor to prevail on your behalf. Isn't that a great word? Yeah? You see, I don't think none of us want our efforts to be in vain, right? Or useless. None of us do that. Regarding anything that is of great value or of great importance to us. We don't want it to be useless, right? What we're doing, the efforts that we're putting in. And it's interesting because, you know, as parents, right, our responsibility is to invest in our children, right? School, you know, we feed them, provide clothing for him, we provide housing and all the necessary things that they need to grow up. And it's all geared so that they can go on their own, right? Remember we talked about the eagle, how the mother eagle last week? Wasn't that amazing? But yet when we come into a relationship with God, right, we're training our kids to be independent. Yet when we come into a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, we find that we have to be totally dependent on him. You know, when we talk about purpose, you know, it's one of the greatest lies, I believe, of the enemy, the devil. And a lot of people have bought into that lie, is that God doesn't have a purpose for your life. And therefore, you cannot know what that purpose is. How many of you know the devil is a liar? Yeah. He's a liar. That you are here by chance, you're in an accident, you're a mistake, and your existence is random. Turn to the person next to you and tell them the devil is a liar. But in saying that, here's the thing. Until we discover a God-given purpose, until we discover our God-given purpose, one's life is lived and it'll be driven by self-preservation and self-promotion. Until we discover our God-given purpose, everything is going to be about moi, me, you. Me, myself, and I. Amen. How many remember before you received Christ, everything was about you? Yeah. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It was all about us, about me, right? You know, there were two friends talking. Hawaiians say valao. They were valaoing, and one kept talking and talking and talking. I mean, nonstop, 20 minutes he was talking and talking. Until finally he stops and says, "Hey, enough about me talking about me. Let's talk about you for a change." In other words, I have become my agenda. It's all about me. But when I discover, or when you discover God's given purpose for your life, suddenly something changes, something greater than I am occurs. Something worth aiming your life towards. Christian writer Thomas Carrell writes, "A man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. A stray, a nothing, a no man." And you know what's sad to say, many people wander through life with no earthly idea of what they're here for. You know, I was listening to Miles Monroe the other day. How many of you remember Miles Monroe? Tremendous teacher. He's from the Caribbean. He passed away a couple years ago in an airplane accident. Wonderful, powerful man of God. But he was talking about purpose, and he was saying that regarding purpose, how that humans don't want to die. Because they know deep down in their hearts they have not finished what they were born to start. And that's why, as humans, we don't want to die. There's an unfulfillment that we have to fulfill, and that's called purpose. But he said, he went on, he says, but a purpose, a person who discovers their purpose and fulfills that purpose, they welcome death. Because death never threatens a person who discovers their purpose. You know, we see in the scripture the Apostle Paul, he was not afraid of death. In fact, he willfully decided to die. You know, you read in 1 Timothy, he's talking about, I am caught between a hard place, or betwixt two places. And what he was caught between was having a desire to go back with the Lord or remaining. But he said, for your benefit, I choose to stay. But when it comes to 2 Timothy, we read, Paul is ready. I mean, he says, my departure is at hand. I'm ready to go. It wasn't like he was quitting. Because what happens is when you understand purpose, right? He said, he makes this statement, my life has been poured out as an offering. What he was saying is, my work has been done. I'm done. I have fulfilled my purpose. What else is there to do? So he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, right? And I've kept the faith. Isn't that amazing? When we understand purpose. So when we're talking about purpose and what we're going through with all these COVID and elections and everything, like I said earlier, purpose keeps us focused. It keeps us on the straight line. It keeps us on track. Purpose doesn't allow us to get distracted. You know, when we get distracted, you know, we get pulled away, and all of a sudden what's supposed to be a distraction becomes an attraction. And now our purpose stops. And then we look behind and we go, wow, 5 years later, I'm at the same place. Because this distraction attracted me, and now here I am. Does that make sense? We're talking about purpose. What's that? Let me find a closing place and I will close. A man writes a story. I love stories. How many of you love stories? He said, one of the fascination of my wife while they were living in Germany was sheep. Apparently, they lived in a country area where this one shepherd raised sheep. And he says, once a year, the shepherd brings the flock of sheep near our village by our house. They go through. And what my wife does is she goes out and takes snapshots as the shepherd would allow them. And sometimes she would go along with the shepherd. But what fascinates her was how the Bible compares people to sheep. The Bible does that. I'm a sheep, you're sheep, right? And she says, after watching the sheep for a while, I can see why sheep by their nature live only for the moment. Their line of vision is never more than the next clump of grass that they can eat. That's their vision. Because they don't have good vision. So they go here, they chew here, and then they go here, they chew here. And what happens is, because they don't have a tendency to know how to stay together, they keep on eating and going, and what they do is they unknowingly become separated from the herd without knowing till they're far away and in danger. So they get further and further away from the fold. And without a shepherd and a trusty sheepdog, they would wander with no direction or no purpose. People are like that. They often live for the moment. To the next clump of grass of pleasure, having no direction or purpose, not knowing what they are here for. You know, the Word of God tells us we're here for one purpose. It tells us we were created for one purpose. Everybody say one purpose. And from that one purpose, every other purpose flows out from that. And that purpose is to bring glory to God. Your purpose for your life is to bring glory to God. In Isaiah 43, verse 7, Isaiah declares, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I made them for my glory. It was I who created them." Bring all who claim me as their God, for I made them for my glory. God made you for his glory. And he says, it is I who created them. It is I who created you. Amen. I remember John Lake, another evangelist. I write down his, he wrote something in one of his biography. And I wrote that. It was a prayer, and I write that down for myself. And I remind that it's a prayer of consecration. And he says, "Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mind, mind to teach me whose I am, mind to show me whence I came." So I wrote that down many, many years ago, and I often look at that to remind me whose I am and whence I came. And it keeps all these things called purpose aligned in my life. Because in order to understand your purpose, right, you must understand where you came from. Where you came from. Your identity, where you came from. And the sad thing, and one of the things about living here in Hawaii, and maybe other places, one of the things that the Lord spoke in my heart many, many years ago, because we were, you know, the prison has been closed to us as volunteers or chaplains. But one of the things the Lord spoke to me while I was out in my dad's place working and maintaining his property, I was out there working, and the Lord said, "You know, boy, 80%." Of the boys here in Hawaii, they live in this place. They live in this place called Hawaii. They were raised and born here, but they don't have a clue who they are. They don't know what their identity is. And I'm working out, knocking plum trees down, having this conversation with Father, and he's telling me that. So if you don't know where you came from, then how in the world are we going to know what our purpose is? See, our identity is in Christ. We were created and made in his image. You can say, "Well, I'm Hawaiian, I'm Portuguese, I'm Japanese, you know, I'm from here, I'm from..." Well, let's go way, way back. Let's see where you originated from. You came far more farther than that. You came from God. The Bible says he knew you before the foundation of the world. When you were just a speck in your dad's eye, I already knew you. So without God, life has no purpose. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without purpose. Hope is the essential to our lives as air is to water. Amen. So for everything, there's a time for everything and every season right? And a purpose under heaven. Praise God. Let me close with this scripture, and then we'll just close right here. Let me read. How many of you are learning something this morning? Praise the Lord. We're talking about purpose, aiming our life for purpose. I'm reading from the New Living, the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, so we are convinced. We have to be convinced that every detail, every minute detail, from the color of your eyes, from the color of your hair, from the skin color, your hangnail, whatever. We are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. See, when we talk about the plan and purposes of God, it's not like we have our own individual plan and purpose. What God is saying, when you embrace my plan and purpose for your life, all of that is entwined. It's all inconclusive. Everything is inconclusive. It's not you having your own plan and God having our own plan. If you embrace his plan, your plan is also included in that. It's all entwined together. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born. Man. He knew all about us before we were born. He knew everything about you. I mean everything. Some things your husband don't know about you, and sometimes your wife don't know about you. He knows everything about you. Amen. And he has destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son, to be more like Jesus. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. So your purpose is to be just like him, like Jesus. Wow, that's hard, Pastor. How can we be like him? Well, just spend time in his word, pray, spend time with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus, that you are the example for our lives, that you always lived your life on purpose and in purpose every single day. And Lord, help us and lead us, Lord, to keep our eyes, Lord, on you and to that we may discover, Lord, what our purpose is. Purpose is not something we try to find or search for. Purpose is something that has already been born within us. When we were born, your plan and your purpose was already attached to our lives. We just have to discover it. And Lord, we can discover it through your word, and the Holy Spirit will confirm it within our hearts and lives. That, Lord, we understand that when we understand why we are here and what your purpose is for us, Father, it will keep us anchored in your word. It will keep us focused on your word. And your purpose will keep us on the straight and narrow path. And we will not be distracted. We will not turn to the right or to the left. But Lord, we will step in faith, moving forward each and every day, knowing that just as Jesus did, that I live my life on purpose and in purpose, and that my life will glorify you each and every day. And that my desire, Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will begin to transform me, Lord, to be more like you each and every day. Father, I pray that the word will be lodged within every heart this morning. I pray, Lord, that minds have been renewed, mindsets have been changed to align themselves with what your word says, Father, and how you see each and every one of us as your children, as your sons and daughters, as your beloved, as your children. And that we see you with the right perspective, with the right image, that you are God. Yes, you are. But you are Father God. We thank you for speaking to hearts this morning. We bless your people this day. And we ask all things in the mighty name of Jesus.